Good evening. I'm Robert Shore, and I want to welcome you to The Call, which is part of the Robert Shore Ministries, A Church with No Walls. Today is the 15th of the month, and it's 6 p.m. Pacific time. So guess what time it is?
Time for The Call.
Absolutely. Every month. We've been doing this for over 5 years. We've done it from the middle of Lake Powell. We've done it from the Philippines. We've done it from Korea. It doesn't matter where we are. If it's the 15th of the month, we're going to be on live someplace somehow, and here we are. We haven't missed yet, and we don't expect to miss.
Can you see?
The headphones are mute. I'm assuming everybody can hear us. Hang on just now. Let me double-check our Facebook.
Hang on. We got to check the Facebook people. Meanwhile, I'll just continue talking. I'm Donna Shuler, and again, this is the 15th of the month, so Robert and I would like to welcome you to this part of our ministry called The Call. And it's part of the Robert Shuler Ministry, Church with No Walls.
Hey, Heather, can you hear us okay on Facebook Live? I'm assuming you can. Could you please just give us a little note letting us know? It looks like the camera just got covered. There we go. You can just send us a note saying, yes, we can hear you.
Otherwise, I can get
or anyone else, if you can hear us on Facebook Live.
Right, for those of you that are called in via the telephone service, it's just interesting.
Oh, everything's good, Donna.
Everything's good. Okay.
That's all we wanted to make sure.
We are in business.
Very good. Yep.
Okay. So, anyway, so we're here to join the 15th of every month, and we often have a mid-month guest. We have an encouraging guest, but today we don't have a guest. I am going to interview Robert, and I'm just going to ask him about, we're going to talk a little bit about Vital Living, our new project we've been working really hard on through the Robert Shuler Inspiration site, and I'm going to interview my husband. And again, we're here to give you mid-month encouragement, to lift you up and to help you get through some of the tough things that we all go through in life, and also just to talk to you, connect, and just share a little bit about what's going on in our ministry. So later on, we'll be taking some, are we going to take some questions tonight? I guess if somebody wants to ask questions, we will. You just put star. Well, we're trying to shorten this because we've been doing some studying, among other things, and found that the person's, an average drive time would be 38 minutes, thus that you're supposed to keep a podcast under 38 minutes so that people can get the whole thing if they like to listen on the way to work. And oftentimes, I believe that's what people do. So with that, I'd like to open with a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time together. Thank you that you've allowed Robert and I to do this now for this call for almost 5.5 years, and we have not missed a 15th of the month in 5.5 years. Thank you for all the wonderful, beautiful people we've had the privilege of interviewing. Thank you for giving us strength and fortitude and sometimes courage to keep going on with this, because we've been, like Robert said, in some interesting places, Lord, and you know that, and you've been with us every single step of the way. I pray now for people that are watching via Facebook. I pray for people that are listening. I pray that something, maybe just one little nugget, is their takeaway tonight, and it will help them get through something, a situation, maybe not a big deal or maybe a huge deal, but that they will have help getting through whatever it is they need to get through this evening, Lord. And we love you. Amen.
Amen. Well, this is the season of Lent, and you know, my father has said that Lent is eliminating negative thinking, so it stands for let's eliminate negative thinking. And I just love that, and I know a lot of people, a lot of other people have shared that they love it as well. But this is actually the middle of the season. It began on Ash Wednesday, which this year was on Valentine's Day, and it will conclude on Easter morning when Jesus rises from the grave. He conquers death, and that is the season of Lent. So one of the reasons my father says let's eliminate negative thinking is because people like to eliminate different things in their lives, and all of that as a way to prepare them for Holy Week and Palm Sunday, where Christ comes into triumphantly into Jerusalem, and from there he continues his ministry teaching, does some of the most amazing teaching in the temple through Holy Week, and finally, of course, is arrested on Monday, Thursday, crucified on Friday, is in the grave on Saturday, and Sunday morning he rises from the dead.
I was going to say, we talked a little bit about let's eliminate negative thinking, and you also challenged people to read through the Gospels, and you also said, think about adding something to your life. So I actually listened to him once in a while. So I didn't have anything I really wanted to eliminate this year. I thought about it, I prayed about it, but I decided to add something. So what I've been doing for the last few weeks, since the very first day of Lent, when Lent began on Ash Wednesday, I decided to add something. What I've added is I added my coaching services, my mentoring services, whatever you like to call them. I do a lot of coaching and, not a lot, but I do coaching and nutrition, body, mind, spirit coaching, and I also help people through some family issues, family dynamics coach is what I call myself. So I decided to make contact with people that I knew I'd spoken to in the past that discontinued because they couldn't afford it. And I just decided to put myself out there and coach anybody that wanted to talk to me. So I've got a couple gals I've been talking to for an hour each week, and they keep wanting to give me something. They keep saying, hey, when we get the money, we'll pay you. And if you're listening out there, I'm going to say the same thing. This isn't about money. This is about helping people. And I have been so much more blessed by doing this. One gal I'm helping with some public speaking coaching and trying to break through a fear barrier. And again, it's when we get to use our God-given gifts in this way, it's a real blessing. And I consider that my ministry. So I realize that Robert and I are a team. And when I get to coach these women and whoever it is that needs to talk to me, it's part of my ministry. It's part of what I do. And that's who God made me. And all these years, you know, one thing about getting older, you've got a lot more experience. I have a lot more experience. And I have a lot more wisdom, right? Hopefully.
You do an outstanding job of counseling mentoring people.
Thank you.
And I know you usually are paid fairly well, for you to be able to do that for people who can't afford it is just a very, very generous thing to do, and I think is a very good thing to do. So if somebody wants to use your coaching, are you offering that to people since you brought it up?
Well, sure. If anybody has a situation, just a crisis situation they need to be kind of stabilized through. I also am not a licensed counselor per se, so I refer people out. If I know it's beyond my sphere of influence of education, I refer people out. So this isn't about that. I didn't want to pat myself on the back. I wanted to encourage people and say that it's not too late. This is a good time to say, hey, I'm going to be a little more, focused and be a little more, what's the word I'm looking for? Just focused and intentional about putting myself out there. And I've done that with friends and family and just try to be more intentional with spending time with people that I care about, people that I love. And, Jesus tells us to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. So it's not just about loving the people that we know really well, like our moms and dads and brothers and sisters and husbands and children and all that stuff. But it's about reaching out to people that are lonely and need help. So it's been a real blessing. So it's just to encourage you to, not necessarily give something up, but to go ahead and add something to.
Yeah, either give something up or add something.
Yeah,
to
or both.
Yeah, exactly. Or both. And so this is the season of Lent, and that's how we started talking about that. And that's the season of Lent, I'm looking forward to Holy Week. That'll mark our 1-year anniversary of doing Facebook Live on
That's
Sunday
right.
mornings.
That's right.
I started on Palm Sunday a year ago. And I, from there, I did every day through Holy Week, I did a message. And then I decided to continue doing it every Sunday morning. And so if you haven't listened to one of the Sunday morning Facebook times, you can do that at 8 o'clock Pacific time every Sunday morning. And I don't have any plans of quitting. I plan on continuing the course, stay on the course, and continuing to share the good news in every way I possibly can, because that's what I am. I'm an inspiration distributor. And by an inspiration distributor, I simply mean that I want to inspire people. And I will do it any way that I can. As a result of that, I've written several best-selling books, a New York Times bestseller among them. I have, and all of them in some way, shape, or form have something to do with inspiring people, inspiration. And so my ministry and my life's work has always been about inspiring people. And that's why we have this time together. Our goal is to inspire you to be all that you can be and to accomplish something more and to overcome the obstacles that are in your way so that you can find happiness and joy and peace and goodness. So that's what we're all about.
Absolutely. So I'm supposed to be interviewing you, and you kind of gave away a lot of my questions already.
I did? I'm sorry.
That's okay. Do you want to read a scripture? There's a few pulled up for Lent, and I know you'd like to talk about John. And
yeah, I would.
What's the one you used Sunday? Was
the one I used Sunday was Luke 2. Yeah, this past Sunday I used Luke 2. It sounds kind of a very interesting. You would think that'd be more of a Christmas message, because Luke 2 starts off with the birth of Jesus Christ. While Quirinius was governor of Syria, a decree went out that all should be taxed. Each went to his hometown to be taxed, and that's the way it starts, with Mary and Joseph going to Bethlehem to register, and there she gives birth to Jesus. That's how Luke 2 begins. Luke 2 ends with another story. Basically, Luke 2 is all about the childhood of Jesus from his birth through his education. And the end of Luke 2, there's a story about Jesus being going to Jerusalem with his family and then getting lost. I can't imagine how terrifying that must be, to be lost, to lose your child. But they couldn't have been that scared, because they were halfway back to Bethlehem before they even realized he was gone, which I find kind of interesting. But then you stop and you realize that he was very close to adulthood. He was 12 or 13 years old, which means he was at the edge of puberty, and adulthood in that day and age was basically defined by puberty. And so that's why they wouldn't have been as concerned as you would expect, say, if he was a five-year-old. But he was in the temple teaching everybody, and it concludes with them finding him, and he says, "Where would you have expected me to be? Where else would I be but in my Father's house?" Which is a very fascinating thing, that he recognizes himself as the Son of God. He's in his Father's house. This is the house of God. And here he is recognizing himself in his adolescence as a child of God. And I think he wants us to know that we are children of God. And then Luke 52 concludes with this amazing verse that I just love. And it says that, because it transitions from there to basically an overview of the next 20 years of Jesus' life. And that overview of the next 20 years of Jesus' life is this: "And Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in his relationship to God and in his relationship to man." Mm-hmm. So it was wisdom, mind, stature, body, relationship with God, soul, and relationship with others, and socially. So during that next 20 years, Jesus grew dramatically in all areas of life, and I believe that it's imperative for us to grow in all of those areas synchronistically in order for us to be able to actually be enhanced the way Jesus was, the way Jesus wants us to be. Because as you say, as you notice, the first word is not knowledge, it's wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And wisdom isn't just head knowledge, because we can have all the head knowledge in the world and we don't know what to do with it. What good does it do? Wisdom is being able to use that knowledge we have. And in order for us to be able to use the knowledge we have, be able to have wisdom, requires us to grow in stature and in our relationship with God and our relationship with others. So that's Luke 2, and that's what I consider a fabulous time of Lent for us to be able to say, okay, during this 40 days, what can we do? What is the objective of Lent? What is the goal of Lent? And I think it's these things: to be a follower of Jesus Christ, which means to grow in wisdom, to grow in stature, to grow in our relationship with God, and to grow in our relationship with others. As a result of that, that's the way I see and want to experience Lent this year.
Very good. Very good. I like that. So I want to sort of switch gears here. And like I said earlier, we have had many amazing guests on. And I just thought tonight, since we're down in our place in Mexico on our little boat, and as we are usually once a month, not always on the 15th, but when we are here on the 15th, we are here on our little couch, and our kids happen to be here, two of our daughter and her husband, Chad, and their two little babies, a one-year-old and a almost four-year-old little boy, Christian and Sienna. So we've had quite the last 3-4 days. You could see the cabin in front of me.
And
there's toys everywhere.
We had a little flood,
which isn't always good on a boat, but it had nothing to do with a hole in the boat or anything, but it was a pump that was going off on the deck. And oh my gosh, so we have all kinds of stuff. If you could just see around here. But that's not the point. The point is that we're here, and I wanted to talk to you a little bit about our latest project, which is robertshulerinspiration.com. And we have already, most of you know that we've already, posted a course, made available a course, 10 Steps for Emotional Healing. And that's for people that would like to use the 23rd Psalm to help them through whatever they're going through. It could be just a regular transition. It could be changing jobs. It could be sending your kids or your grandkids away for a while, off to college. It could be moving. The 23rd Psalm is one that most people know and love, and so my husband wrote a 10-week course, 10 Steps to Emotional Healing. So that's already available on robertshulerinspiration.com. But what we're working on now is called Vital Living, and it's actually based on a week-long in-house program we used to conduct at Rancho Capistrano many, many years ago. And it's body, mind, spirit, health. So it's a very intense, it's still cutting edge and a little bit on the controversial side. And basically we talk about how to live healthy, and we talk about health care versus managed sickness, which managed sickness is if you're already ill and you're managing it to stay alive or to stay balanced. So I want to ask Robert a little bit about, first of all, Robert Schuer Inspiration. You already gave it away that inspiration So
I did.
When did you decide that you were going to be an inspiration distributor?
Hey, I was young. I don't know whether I was in college or seminary, but clearly before I started my ministry. And I cannot remember not being involved with Robert Schuer Inspiration, not titled that way, but as an inspiration distributor. And that that those two words, inspiration distributor, were the criteria that things I do in my life have to fit within. If what I'm doing doesn't fit that criteria, then I don't do it. It doesn't make sense for me to do it. And as a result of that, I have had some parameters that have helped me throughout my life and have been a tremendous tool for me to be able to use to govern and help me make decisions.
And what does it mean to inspire?
Ah.
Because here's the thing. A lot of people have said, oh, he's a motivational speaker. I'm like, no. There's a big difference between motivating someone and inspiring. So what is the difference?
The word inspire literally means to breathe into, to breathe the breath of life into. And so if you think of giving CPR to someone where CPR used to give mouth-to-mouth, where they would literally breathe in CPR, do you still do that?
Yes.
And yep. So I thought they changed that whole thing.
Nope.
So that's the whole idea, where you literally breathe into somebody, and it comes from the very beginning when God made the first man, Adam, and he breathed the breath of life into Adam, and this lump of clay became human and became real, and that's the historical backdrop to that, and it's continued throughout the life of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And so it is a spiritual word. It is a not necessarily a Christian word, but I think it is. And at the same time, it's a word that brings life to people. And life, as a result of that, is basically what I talked about earlier, where it incorporates wisdom and stature and relationship with God and relationship to others.
Well, I've heard you say before that it's like when God, in the beginning with Adam, that Adam, right, he formed him, right? Into a lump of clay, but then he breathed.
The breath of life.
Did you already say that tonight?
I did.
Well, I might have been not paying attention. Sorry. I was looking at her notes. yes, I like that because it makes so much sense. So, you know, when you motivate somebody, you kind of get them to go to the next level. You help them sort of, what do people say? You changed my life. And I've heard so many people throughout the last 33 years of being married to this man say, you saved my life. I've heard it first through people, you know, used to say that to your dad because the ministry was so huge. And then when Robert and I were heading up the ministry, the large ministry, we heard it all the time. Robert heard it all the time. You saved my life. Well, to me, that's an easy way. You changed my life versus you saved my life.
And if you have the analogy of CPR and giving mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, the person who gives mouth-to-mouth resuscitation is inspiring somebody. And what are they doing?
They're
breathing the breath of life into,
right,
but they're saving their life. Changing it.
No, they're not changing it.
They're saving it.
Right, right.
So it makes sense that's what would come out of our ministry is people's lives are saved. And for 3 years, my father and I went to all of our supporters from the Hour of Power. That would have been in 2004 and 2005. And we had all of these lunches with people, and without exception, my father would ask, is there anyone here who can raise their hand and say, this ministry saved my life? And always there'd be a few people, not one, but a few, like a half a dozen or more, who would raise their hand and say, this ministry saved my life. To me, it means it inspired them. And that's what I've been doing. That's what you and I have been doing for decades now.
Well, that's a good kind of a transition. I'm skipping over a lot of the questions because I just talked about, it's great. How, I guess the question would be, you talked about how when you were at the Hour of Power, for those that don't know, the Hour of Power was an internationally televised ministry from a huge big church in Garden Grove, California called the Christ Cathedral. Robert was part of it for more than 30 years, right? And then the senior pastor for over 3 years, or almost 3 years. But how did you transition from that to what we do now?
Well, you know, my first job at the Christ Cathedral was long before it was the Christ Cathedral. It was actually the Garden Grove Community Church. And when I was about 5 years old, my job was to run and crawl under my father's robe and stick my hand through his pocket slot. I couldn't see anybody, but I would shake hands. People would see this hand sticking out there and shake my hand. And that's where I started. It went from there. It just continued, and I went away to college for 4 years. But other than that, that was the only time I left the ministry for a while. And that was from 72 to 76. And then I continued when I came back, reading scriptures and prayers in the Sunday morning services, and started preaching on Sunday mornings. And I started by preaching once a year, then twice a year, then three times a year. And by 1980, when I graduated from seminary, I was doing several times a year. And then I started my own ministry in 81, where I preached every single Sunday. I would take one Sunday off every year.
Right.
50 weeks a year.
So how have you gone from this huge ministry to the last eight, really almost 9 years?
I know,
we had to reinvent ourselves.
Exactly.
And what do you do about this huge calling on your heart to inspire people? I guess I could say, how do you do that? How do you make it? Because people ask this all the time. That's why I'm asking him. How do you go from I'm going to turn this light on. It's getting really dark in here. Oh, that's so much better.
Yeah? Good.
Yes. I felt like we had halos around us. And we're really not that angelic.
Okay.
But how do you go from reaching millions of people to reaching thousands? How do you do that? I mean, what is it? What is it that keeps you going?
It doesn't matter how many, as much as it is, are you doing what God's called
right.
you to do? And so for me, it's more important to wake up every morning and say, okay, what is it that God wants me to do today? And then I want to go to bed at night when I lay my head in the pillow and I say my prayers. I do ask myself, did I do what God wanted me to do today?
Mm-hmm.
And I want the answer to be, of course, yes,
yeah.
I did.
Right.
And 99.9% of the time I say, yes, I did. And I was where God wanted me to be and doing what God wants me to do. And if I live my life that way, I can't be concerned with having huge numbers. I can't be concerned with those kind of statistics. I have to be simply concerned with, am I doing what God wants me to do? And is there something more he wants me to do? So, well, then what is it? And I'll do that. But having the courage to do what he wants me to do. The challenge that we have doing what we do is trying to finance the whole thing.
Exactly.
So that's our biggest challenge. Somehow, some way, God provides.
Always. Every month.
A donation will come along that we didn't expect. Somebody will be, something will happen, and somehow we're able to pay the bills.
Exactly.
Thank God, because it comes from him, and we are completely
right.
dependent upon him.
That's
we don't
right.
have salaries.
That's right. But it's been great, and it is a great life, and it's a great ministry we have together, I guess. You've been a Christian your whole life. What has gotten you through your really toughest times? I know there's a couple of really tough things you've gone through. Well, there's a few, but what scripture or what, you know, a lot of people think, oh, well, he's a pastor and he pastored all these people and he grew up in a great perfect loving family, and he's probably not been through too much. And granted, we haven't lost a child. I mean, there's a lot of things that could have happened to if our health is really, really good, excellent, I would say. But, what has gotten you through kind of your dark night of the soul, your really trying times? Is there a scripture? Is there a hope? How has your faith made a difference to you?
So, for me, Psalm 23 has been the change as far as me being able to get through those darkest times. And I remember laying in bed, just not being able to sleep, just being completely devastated. And I just would sit there, lay in bed, and quote to me myself the 23rd Psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And I would recite that over and over again. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And by that, some people could misinterpret that and say, "Oh, you're not supposed to want anything." That's not the proper interpretation of "I shall not want." The proper interpretation of "I shall not want" is "I shall have no need. God will take care of me." And so it's really, really difficult when you don't feel the presence of God to trust in his words and his promises. And then I have a whole bunch of other promises that I held on to for weeks. And in our small groups, we would recite these promises of God.
Mm-hmm.
And I would go back and read those promises of God, which if you would like a copy, we can get you a copy. Do we have them posted someplace on our website?
They're on robertshulerinspiration.com.
Very good.
Scriptures that inspire.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So. Scriptures that inspire.
Right. I think they're on with the first or second video. I forget which.
Okay.
So, well, that's wonderful. Thank you. I would like to take a couple of questions if anybody has any. I'm going to turn on the question and answer, so just push *6. And we're going to be closing pretty quickly here because our kids are going to be coming back from the beach in a minute, and it's going to be loud.
Yeah.
Well, loud.
And for those of you, would you give them the phone number for them to ask questions?
Oh, if you're on Facebook, we can't answer you on Facebook because we can't see it. It's way too little, the writing up there. We're on that's a cell phone up there, the camera. So you can call area code 641-715-3865. And then the code to get in after the lady answers is 642-848, and then the pound sign.
So if you're on the call already, we have a list of a lot of the people who are on the call.
We do.
All you have to do is push *6.
Okay.
And
somebody on there.
Question.
I recognize that person. Hello?
Hello there. No questions. Hi there, John. I'm Robert. I just wanted to say that was a good interview. Robert, you answered those questions so good, but I remember. So you did a good job.
Thanks,
Mom. Thank you.
Thanks, Mom. And love you.
And I love you, and I'm keeping up with my Bible reading for Lent. So
good.
Love you.
Good. Thanks, Mom.
Get the kids up
somebody
for
else.
Me.
I'm going to thank you,
bye.
Mom.
Hear your voice again, Laura.
Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye. Hello?
Hi. Hi. Wanted to say I want to thank you so much for still having it so that people can call in and not just go on the computer or whatever.
That's right.
I appreciate that so much. And I have been a follower for many years, and you have gotten me through so many things. And I'm sorry, I don't mean to get emotional. But anyway, I just wanted to tell you that even in this, I live in a little town, and they're doing away with we're not going to get the newspaper anymore, not the Miami Herald, not anything. You're going to have to go on your phone to read the newspaper, and there's a big rebellion against it. It's just not an old dinosaur like me. So I just want to thank you, and I want to thank you and Robert so much, Donna, for what you guys do, continue to do, and keep on doing it, because you help so many people. And I love you so much. Goodbye.
We love you. We're coming to Florida.
You better. But don't look for the Miami Herald in our little town, because it's not going to be delivered anymore. We have to go on our phone. And but just really quickly, I'm sorry, I don't want to take up time, but I just wanted to say I just had my grandkids with me, three of the eight, and they're boys, and they are 11, 15, and 17, soon to be 18, a senior going to be going to college. And it was just to see them put down their phones and just be able that we could listen to you, read Robert's books, which I have here, and every day that was our deal with Graham, that we would read a scripture. And thank you so much anyway.
I'm so happy to hear that. Thank you.
Okay, love you guys. Take care. Keep that call going.
We're going to keep it going. We might add to it, actually.
Yeah, there's absolutely no reason not to.
Oh, I look forward to it and every month. And I'll let the next person ask the question.
Love
you guys. Thank you
love
so
you.
Much.
Thank
for,
you. Love
bye.
You too.
Bye.
Bye.
So it looks like our kids are, I can see them, that's what he's pointing at. They're out there.
Oh, they're out there, they're trying to come in.
The 4-year-old like this, jumping up and down. Would you do the honor of the closing?
Let me just say that this is a church service, and if you'd like to make a donation to our church service, what you can do is you can go to robertshulerministries.org, and there's a donation button there, and you can do that through PayPal or through any other means you feel comfortable with. And otherwise, if you want to send a check, our address is Robert Shuler Ministries, 2128 Bay Point Drive, that's BAYPOINTE, Newport Beach, California, 92660. That's 2128 Bay Point Drive, Newport Beach, California, 92660. And, of course, you can go on to Robert Shuler Ministries and use the donation button. And so your donations keep this ministry alive. And so as long as we have the ability and the breath to do this, we will. And so, again, we want to say thank you for your gifts and your support.
And we will answer your questions if you've typed them in on Facebook. We will do that later when we hang up and when we post this call, this live call. It'll be posted and also on our podcast. So it will be posted. So just go ahead and ask your questions that way. Or you can write to us. You can write robert@shulerministries.org or donna@shulerministries.org. So
with that, let me give a little benediction. And now may the blessings of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you always and forever. Amen. God
Amen.
Bless you, everybody. Thank you for joining us during this time. And we'll look forward to next month. When is it? What day?
April 15th.
The 15th. What time?
6 p.m. Pacific time.
Okay.
Okay.
See you then.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.